Let's turn to the reading then that we've just had, Genesis and chapter 1 from verse 1 as far as Genesis 2 and verse 3. And what I want to do this evening is start a journey through our Bibles. And we are not going to do this journey book by book. It's not about trying to get a grasp on each of the different books that we find in our Bibles. The purpose of a journey is to see the whole picture. I want us to see that our Bible doesn't have 66 books with different messages. Our Bible has one message. It's one message about who God is. It's one message about God's plans and purpose. It's one message about who we are as human beings, who we are in terms of our sin, and who we are in terms of God's solution. This book has one message, not just about God and about ourselves, but also about the future. And so my plan is to be based in Genesis and to see what we find in Genesis worked out throughout the whole of our Bibles. So it's not about being able to sit down and rattle through the books and say this book is about this and that book is about that. The aim is to see the big picture. The aim is to have a complete view of who God is and his great work of salvation. So that's the aim then, and we'll begin this evening with this introduction. Let's ask God to help us understand his word. Lord our God, we come then to begin our journey through our Bibles. Not a journey that we'll begin book by book, but a journey, our God, in which we'll trace the themes of who you are as God, of your great purpose in our world, of what's true about us, and about what the future holds. And Lord, if we can see these themes, then Lord our God, we'll be able to marvel and wonder at who you are and at the great story that our Bible tells us. So Lord, you know each one of us present. You know our condition. You know, our God, what it is that we need. And so we ask our God that you would speak to us, opening minds and hearts to the truth of your word, and that you would bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the passage that we've read is an introduction. It's not just an introduction to the book of Genesis. It's an introduction to the story of salvation. It's an introduction to the entire Bible. It introduces us to God, to what God does, to who God is. This introduction confronts us with ourselves. What's true of us as human beings? And this introduction presents to us the plan of God for us. So just like John's Gospel then, we have an introduction here that sets up everything that will follow in the pages of our Bibles. So what I want to do first of all is I want you to see how this introduction sets the scene. Then I want you to focus on what God says in verse 26, And then the final thing we'll do this evening is we'll see the significance of God resting. Have a look at chapter 2 and verse 2. On the seventh day, God ended his works, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day. Now, these three things, setting the scene, looking at what God says, and the idea of God resting, these are the foundations for our understanding of God's salvation. So verse 1 then, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. There's no introduction of God. There's no argument in favour of the existence of God. We begin, if you like, with the curtains opening and God is in action. And what we see first of all is a very interesting verse in verse 2. And verse 2 is a perfect verse to grasp the idea that what we see here is found throughout the Bible. And I hope to be able to show you this. So take a look at verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Now the picture presented is of a wilderness. Something already exists, but it's a wilderness. And in this wilderness, you are presented with the Holy Spirit. Now take a look at verse 2. And what image of the Spirit of God is being offered to you? Look at these familiar words. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now this is the opening scene. It's a scene of darkness. It's a scene of water. It's a scene of wilderness. And the Holy Spirit is present, hovering. Now, I'm sure some of you will get the image that we are being presented with. It's an image of the Holy Spirit as in the form of a bird, hovering, in the form perhaps of an eagle, or even in the form of a dove. That's what you see in this introduction. And the picture is the Holy Spirit as this great winged bird whose wing motions are affecting the surface of the waters. Now, can you see straight away that this image in the opening verses of the Bible is an image that you'll come across again and again as you turn the pages of this book? A bird hovering over the waters whose motions affect the surface of the waters. I gather last Sunday you had a sermon on Noah. Well, the same image is used in the story of Noah, when the whole world is again a wilderness covered in water. Noah uses birds, and the idea then is of the breath of God moving across the waters in the days of Noah, and how the breath of God moving over the waters recreates the world. Can you think of another, at least two references to the idea of water, to the idea of breath upon the waters, moving over the waters and dividing the waters so that land appears? Well, I'm sure you can. I'm sure some of you here will straight away say, well, Neil, that's the same image in the story of Moses, when the Israelites come to the Red Sea and they're confronted with this wilderness of water blocking their way, and the breath of God, the Spirit of God, blows and so the waters divide. Now, can you see how? In a journey through the Bible, you start in this introduction, and then we can journey through its books, tracing the same idea. Let me encourage you further. Can you think of this image of an eagle with its wings outstretched that you have here in verse 2, how that image is used in the pages of Scripture? Turn again to Moses. And do you remember when Moses leads the Israelites out of Egypt and he brings them to Mount Sinai? He then says that we have been brought on eagle's wings from Egypt to the Mount Sinai. Now, that's exactly the same image that you have here in verse 2. This Holy Spirit of God has this bird metaphor, wings outstretched, hovering over the waters, carrying the people of God through the leadership of Moses. One more example of this. Think of how this image of a bird, the Holy Spirit as a bird, is fulfilled in the life of Christ. When you have his ministry beginning, we hear of the Holy Spirit as a dove descending upon Christ. When? Do you remember when? There's a link to water, isn't there? As Christ is baptized, so the Holy Spirit, as a bird, descends upon him. So the idea of the Holy Spirit hovering as a bird over the waters is again and again and again referred to in the pages of Scripture. So setting the scene. Let's set the scene even further. What you have then from verse 3 down as far as verse 25 is you have the 6 days of creation. Now I want you to ask this question. Have you ever noticed that these 6 days of creation are described in two cycles? There's the first cycle, days 1 to 3, and there's the second cycle, days 4 to 6. So very deliberately then, these 6 days are put into two blocks, days 1 to 3, days 4 to 6. Let me show you. In these 6 days, we begin on day 1 with light, we move to water, and then we end up with land. In the second cycle of days, we begin with light, we then move to water, and we end with land. Let me show you. So day 1, verses chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Here's day 1, verses 3 to 5. But look at day 4, verses 14 to 19. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. Do you see day 1 is about light and day 4 is about light? There are two cycles in the story of creation. It's exactly the same with water. Verses 6 to 8, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So day 2 is about water. But what about day 5, verses 20 to 23? Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing. Day two is about water. Day five is about water. And then just to complete what we're doing, day three is about land. Look at verses 9 to 13. Verse 9, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place and let dry land appear. Here's day three. And then the first cycle is completed and day six is again about the land. Verse 24, let the land bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. Now, I really hope you can see this. These 6 days are in two blocks. Days 1 to 3, days 4 to 6, and they are joined together by an emphasis on light, then on water, and the last to appear is the land. And God fills the land with an abundance of things. And God pronounces his blessing on the land. That's where we end up in this story of creation. Now, if you're getting any sense of what I'm trying to do tonight, you will immediately recognize the idea of land will be found throughout our Bibles. Creation ends with land, and then you get the story of God promising a land to Abraham, Moses and the Israelites entering into the land, but failing to do so, Joshua taking them over into the land of Canaan, which they have to fight for. They have to protect the land during all those centuries of the kings, and they lose the land right at the end of the Old Testament. This idea of land, the land that God makes and blesses, becomes right at the heart of the story of the Bible. So do you see what we find here is to be found throughout the pages of the Bible. And if we can identify in this introduction the themes, we can pursue them through all the books, finding the same story, discovering the same truth, meeting the same God, and learning of his great purposes for men and women. So the scene is set then. It begins with God, the Holy Spirit, as this great eagle, this great bird, hovering with its wings over the wilderness. And we'll see wilderness again with Moses. We'll see wilderness with Moses. We'll see wilderness in Christ as he confronts the devil in the New Testament. The Spirit of God is our opening vision, creating order out of the wilderness by the breath and the word of God. The scene is set, the land is made, the land is filled with every good thing, and the blessing of God rests upon it. And the land will mean everything in the pages of the Bible. Well, let's take a look then at what happens next. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our own image. What we have here in the very introduction to the Bible is the truth of who we are. We are made in the very image of God. We have the likeness of God himself. We are a special act of creation. We are the highest point in the work of God. And what this introduction tells us is, first of all, we are made in the image of God. Then we discover that we have the blessing of God. So in a way that is different to the rest of creation, human beings have the blessing and the smile of God upon us. And then we find our purpose. And the purpose is worked out for us in verses 29 and 30 and those that follow. The purpose is that man, and I mean men and women, man is a king. He is described in royal language in these closing verses of chapter 1. The idea of dominion. Look at verse 28. Let us make man in our image, we read, and God blesses them, and God says to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And here it is, have dominion. That idea is of kingship. Adam is a king over the land that God blesses, in the middle of the creation that God brings about through the work of his Spirit. Human beings made in the image of God are royal. There's this notion of kingship. Now, I want you to hold that thought and just see how that flows out in the pages of Scripture. This kingdom is lost in chapter 3 of Genesis. And then we have book after book that presents us with God's purpose to restore what has been lost. And if then you bring yourself right up to date in the New Testament pages, we read that in Christ, Christian men and women are a royal priesthood. This idea of kingship has been restored. It was at the beginning, Adam was king. And in Christ, men and women who believe in him are restored to that position of royal authority. Christ himself is king. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And he brings in his kingdom in which men and women who believe in him shall rule. So, what are we? We are made in the image of God. We are blessed by God. Humanity is royal in the sight of God. And God then declares that it is good. That's what we find in this introduction. So God says this truth of who human beings are. Now, what's all this to do with the present day? Did you notice what God says? Look at verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. You've got repetition there, haven't you? Three times we have the creative work of God being expressed. His image, created him in his image, male and female, he created them. This is so important for today. How do we understand today what it means to be a human being? What does it mean to be male? What does it mean to be female? What does it mean for marriage, for living your life? As we think about these things in the original purposes of God, what conclusions do we come to? So here we are then, in the introduction to the Bible, we are confronted with the reality of who we are as human beings. Now, the third and last thing for this evening, let's take a look at this idea of resting. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God rested, he ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested. Now this is again, you see, such a wonderful truth, that on the seventh day, God had completed his work and he rests. And he blesses that day. And we are introduced to the idea of rest. Now, even everything's good and everything's perfect, there is still here in this introduction, before anything else happens, the idea of God showing us there is such a thing as rest. The seventh day, which will stand now throughout the pages of the Old Testament as this day set apart by God from the very beginning. And you can trace this idea of rest right through the pages of Scripture. You can take it into the idea of Joshua leading the people into the land of rest. And then you can come right up to the New Testament. And you remember in Matthew 11, Jesus stands before the crowd and he says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, the rest that Jesus promises is first found here in Genesis and chapter 2. It's the rest that God himself is enjoying. It's the rest that is characteristic of God from the seventh day onwards. That rest is what we are invited to know for ourselves. The reason why God sets it up as a day, the reason why you find it throughout the course of Scripture, Jesus then proclaims that he will give rest, is this invitation to all men and women everywhere to know the same rest that God himself enjoys. It's an invitation to share in, to be part of, to experience for yourself God's own rest. What's it like not to know that rest? And what will the rest be like for those men and women who, like God, enter that rest for themselves? So by the time we come to verse 3 of chapter 2, the scene is set. We've met the Holy Spirit in this form of a bird. The wilderness over which he spreads his wings. The waters that he divides. The land that is set. Man that is made in God's own image, and God then blessing and resting. And by the time this scene is set, you are presented with this picture, not only of the perfect work of God, but in God resting, you're presented with a picture of what's to come. What God is offering. He offers rest to the man whom he has made. So let's leave the scene there Next Sunday, we're going to take up the theme of Father and Son. Because what you have in Genesis then are 10 stories of fathers and sons. And we'll see what happens. We'll trace the story then of father and sons through Genesis into the Old Testament and finally into the New Testament.